Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We appreciate you and all you do. 2 weeks ago, we focused our attention on the Holy Spirit, on Pentecost. We focused on the work of the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Last week, we focused on the second person of the Trinity, the deity of God the Son. This week, on Father's Day, we rightly focus on the work and person of the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. Our epistle lesson today describes for us the gracious work and compassionate heart of God our Heavenly Father. You see, God the Father, based on Galatians 3 and 4, God the Father does three things for us. God the Father adopts us, God the Father loves us, and God the Father sets us free. So, let's talk about each of those in turn. First of all, number one, God the Father adopts us. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Through baptism, we have been adopted into God's family. We are children of God. We are adopted through faith by means of baptism. Adoption is such a perfect analogy for baptism, becoming part of God's family. You see, kids don't adopt parents. Parents adopt their kids. Why? Because all of the work and responsibility in a parent-child relationship falls on the parent. Parents, when they have children, promise to protect their children, provide for their children, and love their children. Do everything in their best interest. What do kids promise? Well, nothing really. They promise to eat their food, receive their gifts, live in their house, but adoption is a very one-sided process, and that's just like baptism. All the work falls on the parents. In baptism, we don't adopt God. God adopts us. In baptism, God does all the work, and we receive all the benefits. Which benefits? Well, God promises to protect, provide, and love his children. In baptism, God makes all the promises and graciously gives us his Holy Spirit, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Peter preached on the first Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promises for you and for your children." Yep, baptism, like adoption, is a very one-sided process. Not only do we receive those gifts right here and right now, we also receive the gifts for all of eternity. We are not only sons and daughters of the King, we are also heirs, people who will inherit his kingdom. Galatians 3, 28 and 29 goes on to say, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." You have to be careful with that verse. It's not saying there aren't differences between people. Of course, there are lots of differences between people. But when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to our inheritance, well, there is no difference. Through faith, through baptism, we all receive the same inheritance. We are all sons and daughters of God, and therefore heirs of the inheritance that God promises. This inheritance is nothing less than eternal life in heaven itself. As Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, "In his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." This inheritance isn't just something we hope for. We know that it's coming. It's our eternal destiny. Why do we know this? Well, because of our baptism. We have been clothed with Christ's righteousness and adopted into the family of God. We are, through baptism, his very own sons and daughters. God adopts us. Number two, God the Father loves us. Your Father in heaven loves you. He didn't adopt you just because he thinks you're okay or all right. God made you. And the Bible tells us that each one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. God doesn't think you're just okay. He thinks you're awesome. Not perfect. I mean, God doesn't like our sin. God doesn't accept our sin. God loves us with our whole heart. How do we know God loves us? Well, the cross. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, 8. And of course, through sending his son, Jesus, Galatians 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as son. God loves you so much. He sent his one and only son to be your savior and to save you from the power of sin and death. Jesus offered himself on the cross, dying for sin and rising again 3 days later on Easter, so that you and I can be saved from sin and death. God loves you so much. He invites you to be in a personal relationship with him. And that's what that next verse is all about. Galatians 4, 6. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, one of the ways God shows his love for us is through our families. Families are a gift from God. Mothers and fathers both are a gift from the Lord. And last month, we gave thanks to God for our own mothers. And today is a great day to give thanks to God for fathers as well. Now, everyone knows how important mothers are. I don't think anybody disputes that, nor should they. Mothers play such an important and essential role in the life of their children, and there's no argument about that. But there are some in our culture who have argued that fathers are not important, that they don't play an important, that they don't also play an important and essential role in a child's life. Hear me when I say this. That is a complete and total lie. The Bible, of course, teaches the importance of fathers, that fathers play such an important role in the life of their children. But now, scientific studies confirm what the Bible has always taught, that an active, loving, and involved father makes a huge difference in a child's life. What have these studies found? Let me just share with you just a few, just a smattering of the benefits of an active, involved father. Children with active, involved fathers are happier, healthier, do better in school, are less likely to have behavioral problems. They are less likely to abuse drugs or alcohol. Children with active, involved fathers are 2 times less likely to drop out of school, 4 times less likely to be in poverty, 7 times less likely to become pregnant as a teen, far less likely to commit a crime, and less likely to go to prison. In fact, some of the stats I saw were 9 times less likely to go to prison. Other than that, fathers don't make any difference whatsoever. Happier, healthier, more likely to do well in school, less likely to abuse drugs, less likely to end up in prison. Parents make such a difference, and we're here today to say thank you to God for active and involved fathers. If you have a dad who loves you and is or was actively involved in your life, this is a good day to give a prayer of thanksgiving to God, your Father in heaven, and then say thank you to your dad if you're able to. You have been tremendously blessed. Now, some of us didn't have a father like that. And if that's you, I want to share with you some good news. You do have a father who loves you, who desires to be actively involved in your life. That is your Father in heaven. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We do have an active and involved Father in our life, and that is our Father in heaven, who doesn't just love us, he lavishes his love upon us. He holds nothing back. He generously shares his love with us and wants us to know that He is actively involved in our life. That's who God is. He is God the Father, who has adopted us into His family, who loves us with an eternal and everlasting life, love, an unconditional love that He lavishes upon us. And number three, He sets us free. The great theme of the book of Galatians is freedom in Christ. Galatians 4:7 says, "So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." The great theme of the book of Galatians is freedom in Christ. That is what we are beginning in our study of Galatians in Bible class on Sunday mornings. I invite you to join us at 8:45 on Sunday mornings. Or if you can't join us in person, join us on Facebook at the same time. You see, in Christ Jesus, you and I have truly been set free. What have we been set free from? So many things, but let me just share two with you this morning. First of all, we've been set free from death itself. As I talked about, we are heirs, heirs of everlasting life in Christ Jesus. No longer are we condemned to death. No longer are we slaves to death itself. We are heirs of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have an eternal inheritance kept in heaven for us that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It is the greatest inheritance in all of history, and it is all yours, thanks to the generosity and love of your Father in heaven and the work of your Savior, Jesus Christ. We have freedom from death, number one, and freedom from the sinful nature, number two. We have been set free from the power of sin. Sin is powerful, and we all, without Christ, are slaves to the sinful nature. But Christ has set us free through His forgiveness, through His grace, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us a new and better kind of life. Not a life that is involved with the sinful passions and desires being in control because of our sinful nature. No, instead, God sets us free to live a new and better kind of life. What does this life look like? It is a life of freedom. Freedom through the power of the Holy Spirit, a life full of love and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Or as Galatians 5 verse 1 puts it, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." This is what God the Father offers to us. God the Father, through baptism, has adopted us into His family. God the Father has lavished His love upon us. And number three, God the Father has set us free. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.